In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just got back yesterday afternoon from summer camp. And it was the third and last week of the summer camp at St. Nicholas Ranch. It's so strange because when you go to do something like that, it's a week that has elapsed, obviously, but you really don't know if it was a day or a year. It really puts you out of time. And that was a very nice change for me. I will tell you, having done a lot of camps in my life and seen a lot of programs, that the camp that as it exists now, I never saw it before, so I can only assume, but the camp as I witnessed it is really the best camping program I've ever seen. It's extraordinary, every aspect, from safety to worship to the way the counselors handle the campers, and it goes on and on and on. You know, it's just a joy to be there, and certainly we do have to give kudos to our campers who went, and also the many counselors who are directly or indirectly associated with Holy Trinity and did such a magnificent job. I talked a little bit about camp curriculum as the lead-in to last week's sermon, and I mentioned that every class or retreat should have some sort of a takeaway. And on the heels of that concept, I wanted to share with you an important takeaway that I had from summer camp. And before doing that, I need to talk to you about a dilemma that I often find myself in when I think about the church. And this is a semi-confession, if you will, but it's dealt in, I guess, my own view of an idealized world. Now, the dilemma is that we are really caught between two perspectives of how one does church here in America. Now, as a bit of an aside, you know, you meet people at camp and they go, oh, you're from Holy Trinity. Oh, that's such a beautiful church. I go, it is. It's an extremely beautiful church. I wish I could take credit for it, but it all happened before I arrived here. I say, but the people are really excellent. I said, but the most exciting thing about the past 8+ years of my life is that all of the things that I had suspected would work in an Orthodox church if we only gave ourselves the chance have worked. And if we have been around the church, then you know what those things are, and we've talked about them directly and indirectly. And the list is actually rather short, but this is really what is required if you are going to have a growing Orthodox Church in the United States. You have to have a warm, welcoming atmosphere. Check. You have to have a good presence on the internet. Check. There has to be attention to preaching. You decide that one. The music has to be decent. We have great music here, but the music has to be at a level where people won't want to run out of church when they hear it. You need a small groups ministry. Without a small groups ministry and relational ministry in general, it's very difficult to grow. And there needs to be an emphasis on outreach ministry, both for the spiritual health of the parish and to raise the visibility of the church. And we've actually demonstrated that all of those things work. And after this afternoon, praise God, we will be averaging exactly one adult baptism or chrismation per month here at Holy Trinity. And if we were to ask, how is it that these people decided to become Orthodox, felt called to be Orthodox, you would probably have to go down that list of 6 items I just read and said, well, one really affected that person more than another, or there were 2 or 3 or 4. And I just mentioned I had a dilemma, and this is the dilemma that I love the services of the church. I mean, I loved them before I was a priest, but as a priest, I've really learned to appreciate them even more. And I know that many of us do. And the thing that's very difficult for me is that I know that here in the United States, in our present day and age, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to numerically grow a church by adding more services. We actually have tried that and at Holy Trinity and demonstrated the failure of that proposition, because we had tried when I first came here doing various services on Thursday night to expose people to them. Nobody came. I'm not criticizing you. We have tried Saturday Vespers. Virtually nobody comes. Certainly not only existing parishioners, new members, no. And other churches have tried that. Priests have gone to churches that are in trouble and they say, I know what I'll do, I'll start doing more weekday services. And here in America, it never works. Whether it's worked in other countries and other times in the history of the church, I don't know, but it has never worked. And so for me, the dilemma is, I love the services so much, but how do we use them? How do we use them to our advantage to bring people closer to Christ? How do we use them to our advantage to attract people to the church? And so now here comes the summer camp lesson, the takeaway from summer camp. At summer camp, we use, and not just at our camp, but at virtually every camp, we use virtually every aspect of what one might describe as modern youth ministry. And that is to say, hands-on lessons. One of the lessons a lesson involved asking a group of campers to open a walnut with a spoon and asking another group of campers to stir up Kool-Aid with a hammer. And you're able to do it. You are consistently able to do it, even with a plastic spoon, which is surprising. But then we switch, and then we say, okay, now open the walnut with a hammer and stir up the Kool-Aid with a plastic spoon. The second way is much easier, and the point of the lesson is that some people are hammers and some people are spoons, and you got to find your walnut and your Kool-Aid and be happy with it. It's a great lesson. And once you've done it, you'll never forget it. And so the next time you wonder, why can't I be in the NBA? It's because God made you a hammer, not a spoon. That's it. God made us all different. That's the lesson. And obviously there's a discussion that follows it, but you get the idea. There are discussion groups besides classes. There are devotionals, campfire singing, team building. The list goes on and on and on. These are all modern youth ministry techniques, and to give credit where credit is due, virtually all of them directly or indirectly stem from the Protestant experience. If there's anybody here among us that likes to gratuitously bash Protestants, we owe a lot of our modern youth ministry to the Protestant experience. But at summer camp, at the same time, there is worship every morning. There's Orthros every morning. There's Vespers every evening. There's Paraklesis one evening while they're there, later in the evening. And there's Divine Liturgy on Friday morning. And there is a huge emphasis on confession. And nobody at summer camp, whether it's a camper, a counselor, visiting medical staff, doesn't matter, nobody at camp views Orthros and Vespers and Paraklesis and confession as some sort of an add-on or something that gets in the way. Rather, they view those items as essential and indispensable. I did a camp one year where the confession schedule got changed and they started late during the camp week. And campers would come up to us and go, aren't we going to have confession this week? What a marvelous thing. And so here is the takeaway. Something very special happens when we take these quote-unquote modern ministry techniques, if you will, in our case, the six things I mentioned for our church, in summer camp, the discussions and devotionals and whatnot, something marvelous happens when we integrate those things with practices that have been part of Christianity for two millennia, things that we would regard as traditionally orthodox. If we want to weave this morning's sermon into part of one of our scripture readings, borrowing a bit from St. Paul, we all have gifts that differ according to the grace that God has given each of us. And when we have this integration of group techniques with worship, it tends to tap into all of our gifts, and it resonates very powerfully with us. It resonates very powerfully with not only the variety that exists within the church, but also the variety that exists within us, because there are times when we want to sit in a circle and have a talk, and there are times when we want to stand in front of an icon and talk to a priest. And at summer camp, we demonstrate very effectively that when you have modern ministry techniques and traditional Orthodox practices, that the total becomes much greater than the sum of the parts. Something fantastic happens. They feed off of each other, and it becomes life-changing in a very dramatic way. And so the application for that summer camp lesson, which is to say, do those things that trigger, if you will, the spiritual thirst of modern humanity, but do those things that integrate them with traditional orthodoxy, that lesson can be applied very obviously to every parish and should be. And while we are very grateful here at Holy Trinity that we have such vibrant small groups and relational youth ministry and our women's group and all the things we do for outreach, we're grateful for that, please, let's remember that we are Orthodox Christians. And for us not to take advantage of what has been set before us is like going to summer camp and never going to worship and never going to confession and coming home and saying, I played some really neat games. Now it's hard to make time to do everything the church sets before us. That's why summer camp lasts a week and it doesn't last 6 months. And the church in her wisdom knows that it's difficult to live in the world and practice the life of the church. Lo and behold, we set out certain times of the year for us to reconnect with our Orthodox Christian roots. And tomorrow we begin just one such period as we begin the so-called 15 days of August. And if you'll notice in your liturgical guide, we'll have church at 6 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. And along the way we will celebrate Divine Liturgy for Holy Transfiguration, and then celebrate Divine Liturgy for the falling asleep of the Theotokos. And all of those are calls to us, those of us who love small groups and love outreach and love relational ministry, those are calls to us to be Orthodox and to take advantage of the gift that is ours by virtue of the fact that we can call ourselves Orthodox Christians. When a person comes to an evening service, like we will offer this week, if you have not been to many of them, it can seem a little bit foreign, even if we were to do the whole service in English, and that's okay. Remember, part of being Orthodox is surrendering ourselves to the rhythm of the service and letting that service change us. And over time, those services become not foreign to us, but they become integrated with our own spiritual DNA. So my request this morning, dear brothers and sisters, is that we should follow the example of the young people from our church, the campers and counselors who've just returned from St. Nicholas Ranch. And we need to simultaneously embrace those activities that we know will grow the church in our contemporary world, and we need to live out our orthodoxy, both at the same time. And when it comes to living out our orthodoxy, we don't have to wait for a month from now to do it, because all of that starts tomorrow night, right here at 6 p.m. And by the way, 6 p.m. because people who say they cannot drive in the dark will get home before the sun goes down. And that is in deliberate deference to that group of people. What do we call this approach to doing church, where we do things like small groups and philanthropic outreach and still take very seriously the beautiful tradition that we call Orthodox Christianity? What do we call it? Perhaps as a salute to our own campers and counselors, maybe we should call this approach doing church the summer camp ways.